First reading is from Job chapter 19, beginning at verse 23. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading this morning is from John chapter 20, verses 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. But if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. When the other disciples told him that they had seen the Lord, he declared, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put them into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Jesus did many other miracle signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. On the Saturday before Easter, that is my family, we walked up Mount Thomas. Now, Mount Thomas is part of the range that separates the Lees Valley from the Canterbury Plains near Rangiora. And so this here was the view from the top of Mount Thomas that day. As you can see, it was rainy and cloudy, and we could not see much at all. And about 2 years earlier, we had also walked up Mount Thomas. It took us a bit longer that time to get up the mountain, but the view was quite different, and we see it on the next slide. In the golden autumn light, we were able to see the hills beyond rising to the Puketeraki range. And on the next slide, you will see the family photo from 2 years ago on Mount Thomas. Now, I had to carry my youngest son most of the way up there, but otherwise it was a nice trip, and as you can see, the views were expansive. On the next slide, we see the recent family photo on Mount Thomas. This time, my wife was there too. and she was able to coax the youngest son on when his little legs were tired. As you can see, these were quite different experiences of Mount Thomas. As I was walking along the track, I thought that possibly such a different experience also applies to the account of Thomas, sometimes called Doubting Thomas. Every year on the Sunday after Easter, this gospel is in the lectionary and normally it is read in church. On Easter Sunday itself, the gospel reading changes across the 3 years, but not for this, the Sunday after Easter. And since we come to this story so regularly, I wonder whether it changes for us as well, depending on the circumstances in which we come to it. Maybe we come to it joyfully, maybe in sorrow, maybe with doubt, maybe with grateful thanks. I have heard quite a few different sermons on Doubting Thomas. Some sermons have emphasized that doubt is part of Christian life. They have even praised the role of doubt in developing faith. Other sermons have put doubt in a wholly negative light and discussed its destructive effect on Christian life. Yet other sermons have steered away from the doubt and focused on such things as the faith of those who have not seen, or on Jesus' words of peace, or on Thomas' declaration of the divinity of Jesus, or on the breathing of the Holy Spirit. How we read this passage and what we emphasize will depend on our own situation to a certain extent. So for today, I want to leave any questions of doubt, specifically doubt in general, to one side. Rather, I want to focus on the joy of the resurrection. After all, it's not unreasonable for Thomas to question the resurrection. This turn of events was totally unexpected and, to be honest, also somewhat unbelievable. In the other Gospels, we also read of the bewilderment of the disciples. Even here in the Gospel of John, we were told earlier that Peter, John, and Mary Magdalene did not really understand what had happened. The other disciples themselves only began to comprehend the resurrection once they had seen Jesus alive, but Thomas was not with them. Indeed, when Thomas finally did meet the risen Jesus, Thomas did say, "My Lord and my God." The encounter with risen Jesus did change Thomas. Now, towards the end of this passage that we read, John the Evangelist does note that a whole lot more could have been written about Jesus. However, what is written is so that a reader may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. Once we understand that, we can also see why the evangelist chose to highlight the encounter between Thomas and the risen Jesus. It is exactly so that those who have not seen but believe receive encouragement and assurance. We read that when the disciples did see the risen Jesus, they were overjoyed. After their hopes were dashed, and after the first confusion and misunderstanding, great joy was their response. There's even some of that joy in Thomas's response. After all, it is not only a new hope that they had received, but also the real joy at seeing their Lord and the realization that through Jesus, their lives had meaning, purpose, and destination. After all, this was not just any good person to the disciples. This was Jesus, whom they loved and who they trusted. So their personal joy at seeing their Lord combined with the realization that death did not have the final word, that the powers that controlled them were broken. They knew that what they had feared the most no longer threatened them, and what they had longed for the most had finally happened, but in quite a different way from how they had imagined it. It's not often that we find such deep joy. But at times, some of us experience something like that. For example, when we, or a loved one who might be lost in the mountains or in a foreign country, is stilled when he or she is found again. Or when someone is undergoing a risky medical procedure and pulls through. Or when we finally meet someone again whom we knew and loved years ago, and we soon realize that a spark between us is still there. Or possibly when we realize that the child we once knew has become a confident and competent woman or man. These experiences may give us an indication of the joy felt by the disciples when they met the risen Jesus. And of course, this experience changed their whole lives. As a result of it, they were willing to undergo hardship and suffering. Many of the disciples later died as martyrs. The encounter with the risen Jesus changed them from frightened and disappointed people to bold and joyful people with a mission. That experience had to carry them through all the challenges they were to face. Of course, they did not rely only on the experience, so to say. After all, Jesus was also present with them through the Holy Spirit, and they could draw on that knowledge and also on the knowledge of the Hebrew Scriptures and Jesus' teaching. But it's the spark of joy, nevertheless, that was a key driver throughout their lives. Now, in our reading from the book of Job, the suffering Job expresses his confidence in God's salvation, even when the circumstances around him were quite desperate. Even at a time when Job was ridiculed and shunned by everyone, his trust in God still continued. He had experienced God's goodness and knew that God is stronger than death. Job, of course, did not experience the resurrection like the disciples did. Nevertheless, through his relationship with God, he trusted God even beyond this earthly life. And through that, Job, in a sense, was one of those blessed ones who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, we who have the witness of the apostles and of the resurrection and of so many Christians throughout the ages, can we also experience some of the joy of the resurrection? And can that joy then instill in us such confidence that it helps us to draw closer to God so that we can face the challenges that life inevitably will throw at us? So let us pray. Lord our God, the disciples were overjoyed at the sight of the risen Lord. Give us also such knowledge of his presence with us that we may be strengthened and sustained by his risen life and serve you continually in righteousness and truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.